to give us Dharma. We're doing flimsy rituals. We need people with knowledge that can actually teach us the Dharma. So if we want that can teach us the Dharma, we have to support it at grassroots level. A nunnery, a monastery, wherever, whatever you like. But make sure it's one that actually studies and completes their studies. They have that course. It can be very beneficial. Having a monk is wonderful. Having a monk that has knowledge and can teach is fabulous. Fabulous. Because what we want when we come to the temple is not just sitting here, chant, pray. We can do that. Very little benefit, God. But we need knowledge. We need someone to explain things to us. We need someone who studied. And you need an institution to produce this. A great institution such as Ganden. The original one is on that wall. Tiki, can you point to it? That's the original Ganden institution in Tibet, which was bombed and shelled and destroyed in 1959. So 300 elite masters and monks, there was over 3,300 at that time, all were killed and disbanded. 300 elite masters and monks escaped into Nepal, into India, and re-established Ganden Monastery now, over 45 years ago. And it's been growing up to 3,000 now. Those handful of great masters and men, some of them my gurus, single-handedly brought the Dharma out of Ganden and made it survive into today. So generations like me can run around the world pretending I'm a Dharma teacher and explaining Dharma to people because of the kindness of these great masters who escaped from the original monastery and reestablished in South India, reestablished where I'm from. So when we support them at grassroots level, it's fabulous. Christians have a wonderful way of 15% towards the church. Buddhists don't have that. Buddhists don't have that. So Buddhists always have to beg and ask and get the begging bowl out. It's sometimes hard and difficult for the lamas and teachers. Because most Tibetan lamas that show up in their respective countries to teach, they show up with just a suitcase with nothing. Through the many, many years of hard work and consistency and not giving up and working and dealing with all types of people and characters, they can build up something. They can open something. They can maintain something. And that takes a lot of work and that takes a lot of help from the local people. And initially, how does that come about? It comes about from teaching the Dharma. When people are taught the Dharma, their minds open up more and more. So every year their minds become different, and they therefore support the Dharma more and more. Why? They know they have benefits. Our place cannot just be a place of puja. Our place has to be a place where we learn the Dharma, and we encourage each other to learn. And not only encourage, help each other not to create more negative karma with our body, speech, and mind. It's very, very important. Very, very important. I consider this center an extension of Ganden Monastery. I consider it an extension. So anything that happens to it, and if I may say so, this is not what they told me to say. Anything that happens to the center, that people, they get benefit, is all the blessings of Ganden. And the bigger it becomes, the more beautiful it is, the larger it becomes, it represents Ganden Monastery. Such a big university should have branches all over the world to share with people what is going on, its knowledge, and what's happening. So if our center is not nice, our center is not well maintained, our center is not good, I feel I will be ashamed to the monastery. It's not a face issue. I'm not worried about face. I want to represent the monastery well so that we can propagate the Dharma there. That's why I always ask for the center to be expanded. I always ask for the altars to be nice. I put nice offerings and I teach people how to do things. Why? It represents Ganden Monastery. I'm one person. If I mess up, it's just me. But I'm responsible for many. So if I make the things here well and run nicely, we are a good representative of the Mother Church, the Mother Temple. And the Mother Temple and the Mother Church is where all the bastion and a large group of incredible educated monks arise to go into the world to help. So if we do our job here, and this place looks nice and it's good, it's a good reflection of Ganden Monastery there. If it's a good reflection, you say, how does it affect you? Of course it affects you. Because if it's good, we can get more support and more people to go down there to help them so that they can get educated. And they can have help. And the monks and their education can grow, and they can send more people out. If it looks crappy here, they're going to say, oh, they're not going to take a look at us. They won't think of helping the monastery there. They won't help at all. Why? Because look at us. So our behavior is very important to represent Ganden Monastery. We have to operate on kindness. We have to transform. We have to stop fighting and being harmonious with each other and pointing things at each other. Why? Every time we do that and we don't do work, we're not helping Ganden Monastery at all. Nothing. And if we're not helping Ganden Monastery, we're not helping the monks. If we're not helping the monks, we're not helping Buddha Dharma. How does Buddha Dharma spread? So if we run around saying we're Buddhists, we don't assist monks. What are we taking refuge in? Namo Sangaya is what? Is what? There's no time to waste. My life is not long. There's no time to waste. We have to get over our little insecurities and lack of self-esteem and all our anger and work. And work for the spread of Dharma in this country and for the grassroots level. So everything I do here, I have a reason. It's very hard to explain to people in the beginning because they don't understand. I have a reason to make this place look nice. I have a reason to expand it and make it big and develop. Why? Every single outlet we have, Zambala Mystical Treasures, Kichara Paradise, Kichara House, all these branches that we have, the three Dharma stores and this one, I don't feel it belongs to me. And I don't want to be represented as that. It's not time for me to surface. There will be a time. All these branches, all that we do, you know what I believe in my heart? Is that they belong to the Sangha of Gandhin. So Kichara Mystical Treasures, KMT, Zambala Mystical Treasures, Zambala DMT, and Kichara Paradise, KP, and Kichara House, I believe in my heart, it all belongs to Gandhin Monastery. That's why I encourage my students to contribute and to help to do the work for them on time. Do the work, do whatever you're doing for it, writing or reading or pictures or photography, selling, sales, to do it well, to do it excellently from your heart and not to be pushed and not to wait for someone from here to ask you, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. What happened? If you don't want, you lose out. You lose out. Why not anger or anything? Why? Because we have to make these places look fabulous and make it work and make it expand. Why? It represents the Holy Monastery of Gandhin. Every institution in the world have their own places that represent them. And our place represents us. Why does it represent us? Because all these people have to see are these branches. They have to see is, oh, Gandhin like that. From Gandhin, you got center like that. From center like that, you have these outlets like that on. It's like that, like that, like that on. Since it's only like that, like that, like that, like that, then your monastery there must be not much. Not much. Not a big deal. Then what happens when they come in and we don't have good service, we don't talk well, we don't expand, then they think, oh, like that on. Then the people, students inside, some want to do, some don't want to do, some is difficult, some disappear, some come, some not consistent. They damage Gandhin Monastery indirectly. They damage Dharma. Why? We're not helping the monastery. We're not helping. So we need to be very consistent, and we need to work hard, and we need to put our effort. Some people meditate and achieve great enlightenment. Some people can do Dharma work and achieve great enlightenment. So when we are hesitant and we don't contribute to the Dharma in any way, shape, or form. And that's very sad. Why? We've received benefits. Would we like the benefits to extend to others? So when I go on this trip to Gandhin, I encourage all of you to come. I don't always encourage people to come on trips to me because I don't want to go on trips with people. Why? Everybody's weird. Look at yourselves. Would you want to go on a trip with yourselves? Take a look in the mirror. And then you're looking at me, I wouldn't want to go on a trip. Yes, but for Gandhin, we all tolerate each other. So when we support Gandhin Monastery and we support the Sangha, what are we supporting? Tibetans? No. Refugees? No. We're supporting the growth of Buddha Dharma in a place that studies for the last 600 years. And by the way, Gandhin Monastery was opened and started by Lama Tsongkhapa himself. Himself. Not Friar Tuck. Himself. So, when we do pujas, if I may say so, this is on an economic level, forgive me. When we do pujas in a monastery and we supply the food and the vegetables and the bread and the tea for the monastery for 1 month, for 1 day, do you know what? You're saving them money for that 1 day that they can use on a rainy day to buy the food themselves to take care of the monks. That's why I have a very big dream to put a disgusting amount in the bank and offer it to the monastery, and they can live off the interest. Every single monastery except for Drepung Gomang and Gandhin Shatsi has that. Example, Lama Sopa has offered, as far as I've heard, $13 million to Sarah J. Monastery and left it there, and the monks live off the interest to buy their food. So the principal is never touched. Sarah May, they have opened a diamond exchange factory, huge one, and they have one in New York, run by one of their Western monks, who supply the monastery with all their food by business, every year. I know that for a fact. Our monastery is the only one, along with Drepung Gomang, so far, no continuous sustenance for the monks. Sometimes they, listen to this, alright, I was there many years. Sometimes the monks only get a piece of bread. That's all. Only a piece of bread. Think about that. That's why I push so hard for our center to expand. So it influences others. And that's why I push so hard for the outlets to expand. It gives information about Gandhian. That's why I push myself so hard. Because I need to help Dharma at a grassroots level. So I have supporters, I have sponsors, I have people who donate and help or do work or services. Please don't think you're helping me. I never think that. You're helping Gandhian Monastery. So when you contribute and help, that's where all... I don't have any kids, I don't have any offspring, I have nothing. When I die, unless there's an incarnation, depends on what my protector says, unless there's an incarnation, everything will go to the monastery and they will maintain it. How wonderful. How wonderful and fabulous. Until then, I will maintain it for them and make sure they get everything to survive so they can study the Dharma so we can make the Dharma grow. I mean, what a wonderful way to live. Everybody does their charities. In this case, this is my charity. It's not the best, but that's what I do. So when we do divinations and we have offerings and it comes out and people have to do it, they do it. In an indirect way, it helps the monasteries because people are fed for one day. Robes are given. So I would love to start businesses here. I would love to start things that can support the monks. For what? Let me tell you for what. For food. For their robes and for the Dharma scriptures that they need to use to study every year. Very expensive. I would like to be the sponsor of food, Dharma scriptures, and robes for the monks every year until I die. If I can extend it into the future, why not? That's one of my goals. That's one of my goals. The other goal, of course, is to spread Dharma in this wonderful country to people who are ready to teach until I cough blood, never mind, until I cough blood, that people can get knowledge of the Dharma so they can understand. And managing a lot of people is not very easy because people have different attitudes. People have different backgrounds and they have different hang-ups and different whatever. And they stay, they go, they like, they don't like, they throw BS, they get angry, they don't get angry. The bottom line is this, is that whatever you feel is fine, but we have to be consistent in Dharma. Then we get result. We get result. So that's my purpose for the monastery. That's what I want to do. That's what I really want to do. And when we do divinations, it is an extension of the Lama's compassion to help relieve other people of trouble, money, difficulties, and unknown sufferings. That is the motivation for doing the divinations. If any other motivation is done in a divination, it is not correct. It is not the right way to do it. The result will be murky. That is the reason we do divinations. Divination really means to divine. The English word to divine, to see into something we ordinarily cannot see. For it to be accurate, for it to be correct, the person asking the divination must have faith in the Lama. And the divination that comes out, the person must believe and follow the divination all the way through. If they follow the divination all the way through, definitely got result. If they don't follow the divination all the way through, they will not have result. They cannot blame the Lama. They cannot blame the Three Jewels or the Dharma Protectors. Why? They themselves don't follow what they need to do all the way. How can you get the result? Impossible. So then, after the divination is done, certain people have to do pujas in the monastery. Certain people have to do pujas within themselves, meaning they have to do some chanting, some prayer, some mantras, some black tea, whatever, within themselves on a regular basis in order to purify a specific type of karma that they have, so that the negative result that's supposed to come won't come. And listen to this very carefully. If you were supposed to do 100,000, let's say mantras or whatever, you know, 4 years ago, and you didn't do it because you're lazy or you pretended you don't have time or whatever, then 4 years later when you want to do it, it's not the same already. Because that situation is past. So if you have a simple, if you walk in the rain, you have a simple flu. You don't go to the doctors, you don't take care of yourself, you run around and you don't rest, take a lot of fluids, it can turn into pneumonia. So when it becomes pneumonia, flu medicine is already ineffective. Ineffective. So some of us who have to do certain practices and rituals and purifications, if we don't do it, and we're very lazy, and we're very bored, and we just don't want to push ourselves, most of the times because we don't care about ourselves and other people enough. So when we don't care about others, whatever result we get will affect everybody around us. When it affects people around us, we expect people to help us again. And if they don't help us, we scream, they didn't help us. No, no, no. The pujas are for us to do ourselves. And if we don't do, we have to have people force us to do. the results will come. And if we do the pujas very carefully, if we do the pujas and prayers and what we need to do every day grudgingly, means we don't want to and someone has to force us and make us, or by punishment, or coerce us, or when in a good mood we do it, when in a bad mood we don't do it, also the results of the pujas will be minimal. Minimal. Very minimal. Why? Your effort comes in. The method is perfect, but your effort is the secret here. So sometimes even if we do 100,000 mandala offerings, 100,000 prostrations, we don't get our full result. Why is that? While we were doing it, we didn't follow the criteria. You know, if you're doing prostrations and you're thinking cheesecake, 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 and you do 100,000, you get a little benefit because you're prostrating to the Buddha, but you probably, you know, get the blessings of a cheesecake. Because you're not prostrating to Buddha, you're prostrating to a cheesecake, because that's what you're thinking about. So even prostrating makes you focus your mind. Some people have to be punished and forced and pinched and kicked and slapped to do a prostration. Not much effect. Why? Because they're not doing it from them. They're doing it because they're forced. And people who don't want to do practices, people who don't want to follow, people who don't want to be consistent, those type of people, if you observe them, will have many, many difficult things happen to them. Again and again and again and again. And if the lamas are very compassionate, they'll let them know. If they let them know they still don't do it, they still don't, it's a clear indication that this person doesn't care about the people around them. Why? Because when things happen to them that are not good, they expect everybody to cushion them and protect them and take the fall. That's very scary. Very, very scary. So what I'm trying to say is, when you ask for a divination, that's what this class is all about. That's what I've been explaining the last few hours. When you ask for a divination, make sure you have confidence in the Lama you ask, me or anybody else. Make sure. And make sure that you will follow out the divinations 100%. And if you have any doubt, 1%, don't. Don't. And if you ask for the divinations, follow it out completely, not grudgingly, not complaining, not throwing a BF, and when you finish, don't put posters up that you finished. Humbly, quietly to do. Because most divinations are not just to solve the immediate problem. They're designed to help you collect merit to achieve a higher state. And then, when you get the divination results, it can equal into two parts. One is pujas in the monastery. One is special practices for yourself to do. Special practices. And for serious cases, it's like going to a doctor for serious problems. When you finish your particular puja and you finish your particular retreat, you go to the next step. You go to the Lama, I finished this, what's the next one? You can go back to the Lama 20 times until you finish, because the problem can be big. But if you go there 20 times and you don't follow one time, it affects the other 19 times that you go. It affects. And as I said, for people who consistently not follow divinations and not listen and not carry it out, even when those people ask for divinations, it will not come out clear. No affinity, the samaya broken. It will not come out clear. None at all. So, the divination for high lamas are a mask to cover their clairvoyance. Like when the Dalai Lama does divination for us, he uses the dice. Definitely it's a mask. Definitely. Gen Yima Rinpoche in Ganden, when he does divination, is a mask. I've seen him. I've seen before the dice even touches the floor of the box, he tells you the answer. I've seen him many times. For high lamas, it's a mask for covering their clairvoyance. For normal people, and for lamas who bought their certificate, me, their divination is really a divination. They need to do the retreats, they need to bleed, they need to suffer, so that they can maintain this relationship with their Dharma protector. When they ask their Dharma protector, that Dharma protector will indicate signs through dice, through their mala, through their robes, through the mirror, to them, to give you advice to help you. And divinations are always free, they're not advertised, and they're not something for people to focus on. And so therefore, if you do that, you can either do divination by direct clairvoyance, or you can do divination by the power of one of the instruments, such as a dice or a mala. Such as a mala. Example, my great Geshe in America, he rarely shows his power to do divination, but I beg him a few times and he uses the mala. He uses the mala, he does a prayer, and he tells me what to do, and I've done it. It comes true. Very rare. I think I was with him 6-7 years. Only twice he would show me that ability. Otherwise, he would say, no. He has his own reasons. But twice, no problem, because I follow what he said. So some people use dice, some people use malas, some people use their robes, flapping, folding of the robes and opening up. I know that there's many methods and mirrors. And for those who have clairvoyance, they can directly perceive. For those who don't, they can use these instruments because they've made a connection with their Dharma protector. And they secret maintain their connection with their Dharma protector every day to have this link open. Example, we have a good friend in the government. We have to give gifts sometimes. One, we have to take them out sometimes, send a card. We never contact them. All of a sudden, 2 years later, we need their help. Hello? They say, I don't know you. Dharma protector is not like that. But in that way, what is the Dharma protector? Is that he won't say he don't know you. You've broken your link, your affinity. So if you do the practice every single day, consistently, definitely it will be clear. Clear for the person giving you the divination, clear for you getting the divination. So when you come ask me a question, it's according to those categories. Did you guys write it down? It is according to those categories. When you ask the question, then when I give you the answer, you write down the answer and the puchas. And you instruct the people on it, but you have to understand the structure of the monastery. You have to understand the structure of the pujas to be able to give that information clearly. It's not so simple, oh, you do that puja, you go to the monastery, it's this much money. No. You have to understand the structure. It's very complicated to do divinations. Very complicated to get it done. Why? Your problems are complicated. Your problems are very complicated. That's why I haven't done divinations for many months up till now. Why? I need good divination secretaries who will train up and learn the monastery, the procedures, how to get it done, how to order the pujas, how to explain it to the people here, is very, very important. Any questions on that so far? Any questions? Yes, yes, you may go. It's okay, you can go. You can go. Any questions? Hello, hello? Look here, look here. Any questions?
When you do special pujas at home, instructed by the divination, do you actually have to do it in front of the altar, or can you do it when, you know, you get stuck in the jam?
Well, the thing is this, the best is in front of the altar. I'll tell you why, because your focus is there. So the pujas you do will be much more effective. If you do it just reciting, but you still have to pay attention to traffic, it's beneficial, but not fully. So if you put your full body, speech, and mind into it, it'll be much more beneficial. Why? Because you have the full effects. If it's a puja to clarify the mind, because your mind is unclear, and you're reciting mantras, just reciting from the mouth, but your mind's not concentrating, it's not very powerful to clear the mind. Understand? So if we're in front of our altars, or at home, whatever, in a relaxed position, a relaxed place, easier for us to focus, then the pujas are much more effective. Much more. Questions? Each divination to be carried out, there's no time frame, but it depends on your problem. If your problem is tomorrow, you better do it today. If your problem is six years down the line, you can take your time. So the time frame is not how fast or how slow. The time frame is how serious your problem is. Yes?
Can I also do
Yes. Yes, you can. You can ask a divination for other people, no problem. But make sure you can explain it correctly. Any more questions? Yes? I can't hear you. Well, why ask? You can, but the effects will be much less. You can. That's been done. Pujas can be done for people who are dying or dead. People can do pujas for people who don't believe, definitely. Because the Buddha's compassion extends to everybody. But the effects will be much less. Example, I have cases where people can't afford it, and they don't want to do it. Or they can afford it, they don't want to do it. They have friends pay for it. The effect is there, but not as much as if they come from them. Because the pujas are offered to the three jewels on behalf of them, from them. So the merits go to them. But it is good, it is effective, it's better than not doing anything. But not as effective as if it came from them. And there are cases of people who are very sincere, they want to do the pujas. They can't afford it. They can't afford it, they want to. So they, if the pujas are $100, maybe they put in $20, their friend tops it off $80, maybe that's effective. Why? Because a friend gave the money to them, and then they gave it to have it done. It's the motivation. Questions? Yes?
Is the practice of emanation, which is part of that, or is it arising from karma? Is it like realize the power of emanation of the practice?
Divination has been done even before Buddhism existed. Shamans would throw bones on the floor, invoke the fire gods, and tell divination they can tell you clearly. Divination didn't originate from Buddhism. Divination didn't originate from the Lamas. Divination didn't arise from India. Divination arose in every culture in the world. People who have specific psychic abilities and they develop it. And they can use bones, they can use trees, they can slaughter animals and look at the blood. Divination is done all over the world. In fact, divinations are very famous in Greece in the Delphic Oracle, where the Pituas, the lady seers, will look into a bowl of water to tell you the future. So divinations do not arise from the Lamas. Divinations do not arise from India. They do not arise from one country. Every country has had that around the world. But the difference is in India, for the great masters like Nagarjuna or that who did divination, their source of divination is different. Their source comes from either Tara or one of the Dharma protectors who has, okay, this is very important. He brought a very good point. Who has unlimited, unobstructed clairvoyance. So that means if you ask the divination of a Lama who practices a deity such as one of the Dharma protectors who are enlightened, or like Manjushri, when they give you advice for divination, it will definitely be different than if you ask a medium or oracle or a shaman. It will be definitely different. Always. In fact, I've heard that. They say, oh, but I went to this Boma, they say like that, why? And then you say like that. Or I heard that Lama say like that. I say, yes, it's definitely different. Why is it different? Because, and they're both right. How can that be right? Because the Bomos, the deities that they practice, and the ghosts and spirits that they practice, or the deceased, whatever they practice, has clairvoyance. But the clairvoyance is up to a certain point, so they can't see beyond that. So they'll give you an answer from here to here, but what you do from here to here might affect you here and you don't know it. When you ask for divination of an enlightened being, you ask the question, they give you the answer from here to the end. So if they tell you something to do, they might tell you something to do now, but it won't affect you here, it'll affect you here, which the Boma cannot see. And when they ask you to do something here, it will solve the problems here more gently, and then further problems will not arise if you engage in that action. So definitely, if you ask a person who does divinations, dependent on spirits and ghosts and bomos and mediums, it's quite dangerous. Why? Immediately it might have effect, but long term is worse effect. Worse because why? It's not that the ghosts and demons and the gods have bad motivation. That's all they know. Sometimes parents raise their kids wrong, some cases, rare cases, not because they don't love the child. That's all they know. They don't know anymore. They don't know anymore. They can't teach anymore. So like that, when you ask mediums in temples, I promise you, most of the time it's not Guan Yin and Zai Gong coming in. I'm sorry, it's not. I have reasons for that. There's ways to check, most of the time. And for most of us who don't know all that, the minute they say that and they look good, they can chew on a blade, they can cut themselves, you know, they don't die, whatever, they can pee and the pee goes 50 feet into the air, whatever, I don't know. And you're so impressed, like, wow. Spirits all can do that. Spirits can follow you all over the world. They don't need a passport and they don't need a visa. They don't need an airplane ticket. They can follow you all over the world. Wow. Ghosts can follow you all over the world. Anywhere. Why are you so impressed? So of course a ghost or a spirit can pretend I'm Kuan Yin because they look at you and they know you don't know if they're Kuan Yin or not. Since you can't check, they tell you, you have to believe. So they tell you something nice and simple. They tell you something nice and simple and it works. You're like, oh, Kuan Yin. Because you don't know any better. And some of these Kuan Yin smoke big sticky buds and drink a lot of beer. What kind of Kuan Yin is that? Kuan Yin don't smoke sticky buds. The minute they come. I mean, you know, I never saw Kuan Yin that smoke sticky buds and drink beer. But I'm Kuan Yin Wah. And their advice, if you don't know any better, will match what's happening and will give you immediate relief. Very fast. In fact, faster than divinations by lamas, because they give you immediate relief. They don't cure the problem, just the symptom. So you have to be aware of that. Why do I know that? You think, oh, I'm just a Tibetan Lama trying to promote Tibetan divination so we get a lot of money. No! We have that in our own country. People who practice shamanistic practices, devil practices, all types of evil practices, they do divination. They're very accurate. Then 1 year, it's fine. 5-6 years down the line, they come back. The problem even bigger. They have to go consult the High Rinpoche. And we hear this from the High Rinpoches. Hi. So if you think I'm trying to promote this, I'm not. Let me make it clear, I hate divinations. I hate it because it never stops, it never ends. Some people want 20, 30, 40, very greedy, they don't follow, you look at them, you go, oh. The minute you see them, you think they're middle name divination one. So what happens is, it's very disappointing to do it and they don't follow. Because it hurts to see them suffer. And you know you can do something, and you can tell them what to do. They don't follow, they suffer. Of course you feel hurt. So I don't like divinations. I don't like it because if people follow, why not? So that's my case. So if you're going to follow divinations that are given to you by a deity, a god, a medium, a ghost, a spirit, any of these type of beings, remember something, they're not Buddhas. They have anger, hatred, desire. They have many qualities. Look, listen carefully and think. You guys are smart. The fact that a ghost is a ghost is because they were miserly and they died and they became a ghost. That's why they're a ghost. So if they can tell you things through magic or through fire or through whatever, through a bomo, don't you think their information is going to be a little bit difficult? Do you know why a ghost can tell you things? Because they can travel at the speed of thought, not light. So if you take rebirth as a spirit being, this is in the scriptures by the way, if you take rebirth as a spirit being, you can travel at the speed of thought. So if you think, oh, I'm in America, New York City, on 22nd Street, you're there immediately. The minute you think it, you're there. So you can look at what's happening, come and tell the person, it's like that, like that, like that. Yes, that's an amazing ability, but that's all. So if you go to a bowl and say, hey, you know, is my wife in America, you know, selling cotton candy, or is she selling popcorn? Because she told me she's selling cotton candy. I want to check what she's selling. So the medium, you smoke a ciggy bud. He immediately travels to America, take a look, and she's selling popcorn. Then you call up your friend who's looking at her through the window, yeah, selling popcorn one. You go, wow, Kuan Yin, fabulous, wonderful. You build big temples, Kuan Yin, you give her a knife so she can cut her tongue, you know, Kuan Yin Wan, Zai Gong Wan. So you don't know, because you haven't studied the scriptures, to know how spirits operate and how they function. This is taught by Lord Buddha, to protect us, to help us. So since you don't know, of course to you it's very impressive. To me it's very impressive, I don't know. But if you know, you're not impressed, in fact, you can check. I have come to mediums and oracles. I don't wear any special uniform, I don't wear anything, nothing. And I stand right there, I look at them, they immediately stand up and come and say hello to me. They don't even know how to address me, but out of the crowd they pick me up. I know they know who I am. I've come across mediums, I stand right there, I look at them, they don't know what's going on. They're smoking their ciggy butts. I can check, even the Tibetan mediums. If I show up, if there's a huge crowd, I'm not even wearing my robe or something, I just show up, immediately the oracle will stand up with a deity inside, come and offer me a kata and ask me, Rinpoche, what are you doing? Nobody told them. I've seen this happen many times, to me. So my point is, the divinations that you consult with the higher level beings will always be different than the lower level beings because of the way they can see things into the future. Please understand that. It's very important for all of you who like all these things, that they can see permanently into the future. So if Joanne Pan says to me, oh, you know, because she's very rich, you know, Joanne Pan wants to buy a huge condo somewhere in Bangsa, right? And then she comes to a medium there, and then the medium, Kuan Yin, Zai Gong, and everybody takes over and tells her, bye, bye, very good, bye, bye, very good. Maybe their power can see 10 years into the future. Then she buys, she lived it happy, maybe on the 11th year, it collapses. You know, it happened in Bangsa, you guys know. Or some earthquake or something. Then joins up, bah, 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 bah. For 10 years, wonderful one. So she goes to see a Lama. Let's pretend the Lama's name is His Eminence, His Fabulous, Wonderful, Gorgeous, Tem Tuku Rinpoche. And His Eminence, Fabulous, Gorgeous, Beautiful, Tem Tuku Rinpoche, tells her, no, don't buy. Not good. Don't buy. It's not going to be good. Then the medium says, do it. Because maybe in Temtuku Rinpoche, he don't have clairvoyance, but his deity tell him, no, it's not good in the long run. It'll say good, good, bad. Then I tell, then she goes, ayah, nothing wa. She talked to the contractor, she talked to the people who build, she talked to the, I don't know, what's those people who start all those buildings? Developers, they thought everything fine, she did the map, everything okay. The procedure goes not very smooth, she buys the house, she moves to Bangsa, she's jumping up and down naked on her waterbed, happy. No, I got a new apartment, right? She's Jonathan, jumping up and down, happy, eating popcorn. And then for the next 2-3 years, she says, ayah, this terminology crazy. I'm happy wa. Everything good wa. Everything fabulous wa. Then 8-9 years, she said, don't go to Tamaraji, he's crazy. He don't know, he always tell me wrong thing, one opposite, don't come out through. Then on the 11th year, Tamaraji jumping up and down, naked on his waterbed, go, ah, ha, 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 I told you, eating popcorn. And then he goes and saves Joanne Dan. That, I'm giving you an example of how mediums and divinations work. That's why to some people, oh, it's wrong. Oh, some people, it doesn't work. Up to you. Up to you. If you say my divination's wrong, most of you don't. It doesn't bother me one bit. It doesn't affect me one bit. If someone tells me my Dharma teaching's wrong, I'll be affected. Why? That can affect you. And I need to go and study up something I'm not sure. That affects me. You tell me my divination's wrong, actually, I don't want to be bitchy, but I'll be happy. Tell people. Why then I don't get disturbed? It doesn't bother me at all. You don't come to me with divination, you little angpao, $5, keep it! $5 angpao for how many? I want 10 today and some more. How much? Oh yeah, keep your $5, your $10 lah. I don't need your little cheap angpao to do so many divination and make my head get a headache. I don't need. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't insult me at all. Because I have never said I have powers. I have never said I'm clairvoyant. It doesn't bother me. Not at all. If you say my Dharma teaching, then I'm worried. That's more important to me. So, then if you don't believe and trust any Lama, not just me, don't ask for divination. And then some people ask this Lama, this Lama, this Lama, it comes out different. Why? The deities they contact with Manjushri, so what's the difference now? The difference is each Lama has a different method and a different approach. Some Lamas will tell you, from here to the bathroom, do divination, they say go this way. Some will tell you go this way, go this way. So what you see along the way, if you go this way, you see Tara on the way there. If you go this way, you'll see a pillar. If you go all the way on the other side, you'll see the bulletin board. So what they see on this side, Tara, what they see on that side, doesn't match. Then they say, that Lama said like that, this Lama said like that. Yes! Because you know why I know that? I did that before. I went to a few Lamas, asked divination, came out all the opposite, and I was like, oh, how? Then I ended up going to the first Lama and telling him, you know what, I didn't trust you, so I went to the second one, and I asked. And they laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed so hard. They say, so pick. I said, I can't pick, please do it one more time. They do, and I follow. That happened to me. So you may think several high lamas may do divinations, it'll be different. Why? Their approach to get your objective will be different. Since their approach is different, like when you go to the toilet this way or this way or that way, what you see on the way is different. So both person is being told to go to the bathroom three different ways. These three people get together and they say, this lama is crazy. Well, okay, three lamas give you three directions. One lama says this way, one lama says this way, another lama says this way. Lama A says this way. So Lama A disciple talks to Lama C and B disciple. They say, hey, we all got to the bathroom, but I saw Tara, I saw pillar, I saw bulletin board. How come? Oh, whose lama is better? Then you start comparing and talking. Ridiculous. You're going to follow divination, you follow one lama. You're going to follow one divination, you do all the way. If you don't believe, don't ask. Because when you don't ask for divination, your lama is very, very happy. When you don't ask for divination, your lama jumping up and down, no clothes on a water bed. Your lama go to sleep peaceful. And if your lama has visions of Tara and protector coming and disturbing him to give you message, if you don't believe in the message, please, the lama rejoice. Then no more vision, he can sleep. You don't hurt the lama at all. Why? The lama doesn't make any money from his divinations. He doesn't charge. You know, sometimes I think, I should charge. I should set up a little table on Boki Bentan. You know, I was in Tokyo. In Tokyo, they have all on Ginza. They have all these shops, and along the line, they have one table with a lamp, one table with a lamp, and these people sitting there and want to reach a fortune. I was thinking, God, I can make a lot of money here if I can speak Japanese. Malaysia cannot charge what? They know monk cannot charge. I go to Japan, nobody knows. I just say, I'm in Kapoka. Let's make up some weird name. I'm from the Zen Ruku sect of Kyoto. You're like, huh? They don't know. You can make up all these things. Then I think, no problem. Wah. One divination, 1,000 yen. Then if I see a big car, 5,000 yen. I tell him some nice news. I just told my brother, help me, I got no food. He'll help me one or two times, I'm sure. Here in Malaysia, I know. Sure, get ang pao one, I told you, 5 ringgit. I've got to sustain my lifestyle, you know. How do you think I get all this gold from doing 5 ringgit divinations? If you want divination, any Tibetan Lama will be very happy to help you. And remember, I explained earlier how much difficulties they go through to do the divination to help you. How much they have to endure and suffer. You don't see all that. You just see the throne, and you see the box, and you see the dice, you're like, wow! No! That's why any Tibetan Lama, I've heard so many of my Tibetan Lama's friends come and they tell me they saw this, they saw that, this person sees this person, they have this vision, and so the Lamas don't feel bad. They understand totally what you're talking about. But they feel sorry for you, because why? There's a higher form of practice. Much, much higher. Much, much higher. That's what I mean. The more we listen to Dharma, the more knowledge we get. Even very new people. This session is a little long, I'm sorry, but you get so much knowledge. You understand more. Next time you see a medium, next time you see a bomo, next time you see a lama, you know the difference. Even if you get different divinations, you know the difference. You know how to check, you know how to look. It's knowledge. Because all of us, at one time or another, will have some difficulty in our life and we'll need some supernatural help. You know, some kind of divinity. We'll need. So if we have this knowledge, never mind the bomo trick you for money. Forget about all that. If you go the wrong way, it'll cost you more in life, in time, and energy in the end. So, divinations are designed to help you overcome that and save you from time and energy. Save you. That's all it's about. It's from compassion, said in compassion, given to you in compassion, and hopefully you get results that end in compassion. That is all. Nothing more. So people like it, and they find it beneficial, good. If they don't find it beneficial, trust me. It doesn't affect anyone. You can ask any Tibetan Lama and say, oh, you don't do any divination anymore. We'd be sad about it. No problem at all. No problem. No problem. And I've come across divinations from Lamas that came out totally opposite of what they said. Totally. But a few years later, I realized it's not. Totally, totally opposite. I had one Lama tell me, I should go to Nepal and get my chop or whatever there. I have another Lama saying, go to Delhi. Oh my God. Which one? Which one? I find out later. It's something else. That's kind of private. But definitely they have their reasons. They have their reasons that you may not understand. And if you want to do it, remember the qualifications. You have to remember. Qualified meaning you go through at least the procedures, the retreats. That's very important. So if anyone around in here without the retreats doing divinations and all that stuff, it will send a bad message. It will send a very bad message. Very, very bad message. It's not very good. It could be harmful to people. So I always discourage it. And you know, if you go to the bookstores now, you'll see divination things being sold. More. On Manjushri, you know, people just recite this mantra and they throw the dice down. That is not for people just to grab it and start doing it. That is for you that it is assumed you've done the retreats, initiation and practices. It is assumed. Simply going to MPH or Borders Bookstore and buying a divination text and going home and guess what? Instant Lama time. No. No. Even someone so stupid like me, not qualified, have to go through so much procedures and maintain it all the time to benefit others. The only reason is to benefit others. There's no other reason. Any questions about divinations? Pretty much covered everything, huh? All the questions answered. The only things we need to go through is if we do pujas in a monastery, the costs and all that stuff, that we can do privately. That doesn't involve everybody. Nobody has to listen to all that, right? That would be just for the divination sectors. Any questions? Sharon, do you think you do a write-up on all that? And she's like, oh my God. She goes, that kind of going to cost you. Any questions, anyone? So everybody understands everything. Okay. Let me ask you guys one or two questions before I do a dedication and conclude, all right? Let's see who's been listening and who's not been listening. Let me ask a few people who always tortures me with questions after class. The minute I finish, you know, they're Kuan Yin, all their hands are raised, all 1,000 like that. Oh my God. I don't mind, but anyways, it's kind of funny. All right, that guy in the yellow shirt.
Oh.
And I had an easy question for you, since you did that and challenged me. All right, I'm going to ask you something really easy. Since you're clapping back at me, I'm going to make you lose face.
I'm the star here, don't forget it.
And where was I? What are the retreats we need to do? I don't need the selective names, but in general, that we need to do before we can start the divination. First, no, what do you have to do before you can do divination? Very simple. No. What? Specifically the first one, what do you do? Give them a hint. Does everybody know the first one you do? Huh?
I don't know. Rinpoche. Now let's see how smart you are.
Well, does anybody know?
Aren't I mean? Don't you love it?
Of course you love it. I'm fun. You don't want to be one of these Tibetan lamas, 150 years old. They can barely see you. They sit there and chant for the last 4 hours. And sorry, I didn't mean any offense to any Thai lamas. What is the first retreat that you need to do? Andy? The first retreat you do? Paris? Very good. Tsongkhapa. Your guru retreat first. What is the second retreat that you do, Mr. Yellow Shirt? Gotcha. Catch your tongue, huh? You know what? I'm going to switch plate. I'm putting it up here. I'm going to sit down there and ask a question. Excuse me. Don't you love it? Excuse me. Next time I talk, the guru not here. Mr. Yellow Shirt is hanging out somewhere, hiding in a 7-Eleven. Second retreat. Huh? Second retreat. Very good. Shh. Don't think I didn't hear. Second year retreat you do is your Yidam retreat. Very good. First one must be Lama Tsongkhapa. All right. In some traditions, it could be the holy Guru Rinpoche. No problem. Either it has to be a Guru retreat. Either one, no problem. All right. So in our case, let's just make it simple. Lama Tsongkhapa. Second one will be Yidam. Okay. Mr. Pink Shirt, name one Yidam. Just one. Very good. Excellent. Paris, name another one. Huh? Very good. Millie, name another one. I can't hear you. You have to take a kaka. Oh, I thought you said I have to take a kaka. Okay, Yamataka, very good. Henry, name another one. Quit hiding, I can see you. Henry's like, I'm writing. What can you be writing? Come on, what's another Yidam? No. That's your gurula. Tashi. Very good, Hiruka. Irene, what's another Yidam? Ah! She already said that, Hiruka. You wouldn't know that. You've been in Dharma for 15 years. Why would you know that? Well, give me another Yidam. Very good. Kala Chakra. Etc., etc. The next retreat after you finish your Guru retreat, then your Yidam retreat, the third retreat that you do is what, Fat Monk? Ah! You're cold. Ah! Broke that there. I put you next to Yellow Shirt here, so bitchy, huh? You want to sit next to him? You want him to be your lover? Ah! Yeah. Just like your friend over there. This one's like, go like that, this one go. So rude, huh? See how much I have to tahan? See how much? Don't forget to tell people I'm a bodhisattva and I'm Buddha, because I have to tahan so much. See? Okay, this is fun. After the protector retreat, after each retreat, what must we do?
What must we do after each retreat? Koki? Very good. That's it. After we finish all our retreats and all our fire pujas, what do? Go to the 7-Eleven shop and get our dice? What do after that? Susan? Yes. Yes. You request your lama. Very good. If your lama says no, do you throw a BF? Or do you say yes, sir, and then you go into more retreats? What do? And you, so in your case, you throw a BF out.
I heard that.
I'm going to put you next to this yellow shirt again. This group is growing. It's called the BG, bitchy group. You're not in the Paris, you're in another group. It's called the insane group. You sit with fruitcake over there. You and fruitcake sit there and play with each other's hair all day. Whose is better? And look at fruitcake, she's hiding. Her name is Adeline Tan Quy Ha. She works for the US CIA. She works for them, but they fired her on the first day because she lost her badge and she lost everything. She didn't show up on time. Instead of showing up at the CIA building, she showed up in McDonald's. She thought they were having a covert operation there. So she ordered a covert schmick and that was it. That's fruitcake over there. In case people don't know, she's sitting next to Anila in the pink with the funny hair. Oh, the fabulous hair. Oh, is it a good hair there or bad hair there? Got mixed up. Good now. Okay, everybody, she said it's a good hair day. Pretty mean, huh? Okay. So, what's the minimum amount we need to recite in our retreat for the Yidan? His main or her main mantra. Minimum, to be effective for ordinary people like us. Minimum. Tiki? Nope. Let me see. Fruitcake? Minimum. I can't hear you. What she said?
1 million.
Very good. Minimum is 1 million. Then if the Yidam has a few mantras, the subsidiary mantras, how many do you need to do each, Tiki? Correct, 100,000. So Yamataka has four mantras. The main one you do 1 million. The subsidiary ones you do 100,000 each, which is three. Okay? That's for a retreat. Then, for your protector retreat, how many mantras do you need to recite? Alex Tan? I can't hear you.
1 million.
Correct. Very good. And how many sessions per day do you need to do your retreat per day? One? Very good, four sessions. The first one start at what time, Juan? Finish at what time? Next one? Around 7. Okay, remember this. The rising and the midday and the dawn, the midday and the sunset, you don't do. So that'd be 6 a.m., 12 p.m., and again 6 p.m., and then midnight. Midnight, these four times you don't do. Constellations out. During those times, your body is not going to be in sync. And according to the scriptures, the constellations for new practitioners, it will not help your body to increase. Your body will decrease at that time. Energy, time, during those constellations. You know, sometimes, you know what they say, like the full moon, there's more energy or whatever like that? Because the constellation of the planets, the constellation of the position of the sun and the moon also affects our body very much. So during those times, they affect us more negatively. So, and then another thing is to have a systemized rest period. Okay, and when you finish all the retreats, when you've done everything, from that time until all the way up to the time that you may do divinations, let's say we do divinations in a year's time, no one's requested us, then every day what must we do, Paul? Yes? Okay, you're at the World Twin Towers in Petronas and you're talking. I can't hear you. David? Of? I can't hear you. Of your Edom, right? And then? You have to turn it on. There's a switch that says on.
And the mantra.
You have to do the short deity sadhana every day. Of course, the mantra is a give in. Then you have to say you have to move your mouth too. In your case, please don't. And then after you do the Edom, then what? Every day. If you're protected, etc., what do you gotta do every day? If you're asking definition from him, hello. Duh. So you do your Yidam and you do your protector. If your Yidam has to be Tara every day and you're doing divination based on the glorious goddess Tara, then you just do that. It's very logical. It's not trick questions here. If I ask you, you answer, it'll go in deeper because you think. If you're afraid to answer, it won't go in deep. Why? Many years you're afraid to answer. You're afraid to think. It doesn't go in. You forget very fast. Don't be afraid to answer. Nobody's here to embarrass anybody. I'm not here to embarrass anybody except for him. So what I'm trying to say is, if you answer and answer back word and talk, you will learn. Don't be afraid. This is not an embarrassing session. Why? You're learning. All right? So, if you do your guru retreat, such as Tsongkhapa, if you do Tsongkhapa retreat, right, how many do you need to do May? That's the first retreat. Joseph? Very good. For your Guru Lama Tsongkhapa retreat, you do 100,000. For your Yidam retreat, 1 million. And the subsidiary mantras, 100,000 each. For your protector mantra and protector retreat, you do 1 million. In the subsidiary, 100,000. Very logical. Good. Any questions? Any questions, anyone? Yes, Susan.
Can divination be
done on animals? Divination can be done on anything. There's not, the subject doesn't matter on anything. Is that giving us a signal that you're an animal? Candid Rohi is blowing his horn at me again. Did you learn anything, Candid Rohi? Was it fabulous? All right. Let's think of a question for Candid Rohi. What does divination mean? A little bit louder because there's more than just you and me here. Turn around. Oh, come, stand up so they can hear you. Come, stand up. Quick, don't resist the smooth. Yes, this is Kanda Rohi, and he's limping because his legs have fallen asleep and he's numb. Do you want to do an Indian dance for us? He does a wonderful Indian dance. If you look, you definitely think he's from another planet. Wonderful. Go ahead, Kanda Rohi. What are you looking at me for? What am I, your English professor? Keep talking. Can we have a little more description? Because Henry's confused and Tashi's not looking at you.
Things that are not ordinarily able to perceive.
Can I have the microphone here? Yeah, Katie, bring here, please. Thank you. Okay, and then I have another question for Kanda Rohi. The question is this. Why do sometimes the divination that you ask Manjushri conflict with something you would ask a Bomo? Why? Turn it on, David Lai. Turn it on.
Bomos can only see for a limited time, whereas when you ask an enlightened being for advice, they see to the end, beginning, middle, and end.
So why would that mean that their advice would be different?
Because they can only see the short term. They do not know what will ultimately, in the long term, benefit you.
Can I have an example to elucidate your little point? Think of an example.
For example, you might start a business. They may say that will go very well. but they don't see in the end that it's going to bankrupt.
Why so violent? Can we think of another example, you violent, hateful, vengeful person? You see, he was running a prostitution ring. And he went to a bomo, they said it's going to be fabulous after 1 year. He did it for 9 months, didn't work out, so he hates that bomo. Okay, and the prostitution ring was called Rasa Devi's Delights. Okay, Kanda Rohi, give us a good example of why it would be different. Think, take your time. Xiaoqian's very happy. You guys are wonderful. It's very late and you guys really want to learn. And I'm very happy to see this. You really, really want to learn. You're going to be a little tired tomorrow. Never mind, you can sleep tomorrow night. But you really want to learn. And I'm very happy. That's the purpose of this place. Go ahead, Kanda Rohi. Oh my, my. Don't look at me. What am I, Manjushri? I'm not going to give you any inspirations here. I'll throw a statue at you. Why are you staring at fruitcake? Leave her alone. You're staring at fruitcake.
All right, for example, you might decide, do I need to take a trip? And no, forget that.
Like go to Borobudur? Forget that.
You ask about perhaps marriage, and they say yes, it's a good idea in the short term.
Who says? The bomo or the lama?
The bomo says.
Okay, the bomo says it's going to be great.
Great idea. And the divination says no.
The divination by who?
The divination by the lama says no.
Okay, is the result going to be good for the lama?
It's not about the lama.
No, is the result going to come out that it makes the lama look good? Yes, right. Okay, sovereignty.
And but in the long term, that it sees that maybe that marriage will bring you away from the Dharma, so
away from each other too,
and away from each other.
And so
the advice is not to get involved in the relationship
with a lama, right? No, the lama
advises not to get involved in the relationship.
And the bomo advises? Okay. So why would that be a difference? How about for the next 15 years, they're having a fabulous, blissful marriage, and they have no...
Ultimately...
Excuse me, I didn't finish. You have to join him. Okay, go ahead.
Because ultimately, the greatest benefit for the person would be to follow the lama's advice.
The greatest benefit would you follow the advice that lasts for ultimate, not short term. So I don't mean any disrespect to any bomos. Let me say shamans or, whatever like that. No disrespect intended. And can we have any questions for Kanda Rohi? Because he's quite good. No joke. He's very good. He speaks well. He's got a PhD in two different fields. Don't you? You lied to me. You see what he did when he came to see me the first time? He slipped a 50 ringgit note in my sadhana book and slid it to me and told me that he has 2 degrees and 2 fields. I said, oh, all right, I'll tell everybody. And now you're making me lose space. I want more money. Okay, please, any questions for Kanda Rohi? This is good, this is how we interact on Sundays. We ask each other, remember, you're not here to embarrass him or yourself, you're here to learn. What's better if we ask each other like debates in the monastery? Ask. Xiaoqian, come on, ask something. Don't just sit there and play with your flat hair. Come on, Xiaoqian. Do you like Xiaoqian's name? Small money, Xiaoqian. She asked me the first time, should I change it because it's Xiaoqian? I said, don't change it, keep it. They bring you luck. She's like, where's my luck? Questions for Kanda Rohi? Joseph? Come on, give an intelligent question.
Right.
name?
No, by sign language.
Well, I don't know them by name, but like in general, they're according to the size of the puja and the kind of obstacle that you want to remove.
Okay.
They vary accordingly.
Very good. What's the largest puja? What's it called? Can you remember? It's a little hard, so that I know.
Lachi.
Can you guys all not help him? Very good. The second one?
Shh. Starts with a D.
Jatsan. Good. The third one, can you remember? Kangzin. Yes, Kangzin. The next one down is any amount of monks you like. And during a puja kandaroki, what do we offer to the monks?
We offer them their meals, morning, breakfast. We offer... We can offer additional gifts if we want.
Like what?
Money.
A wind-up monkey?
Money. Or robes, or even deities, or even...
Whatever from our...
Pets, yeah.
Pets?
Pets.
Oh, on pets.
Dog
pets. All right. And then, do you have to be there to actually do the puja, or someone can do it for you?
No, it can be done on your behalf.
That's fine. But wouldn't it be lovely to be there?
Yes.
Yes. Good, good, good. And, yes, ask him directly, what are you looking at me for? Yes. Repeat his question, that's very good.
If no one is able to afford the puja, what happens then? But they need the obstacles cleared. So they can solicit help from
the nobody helps.
Nations, and nobody helps.
Nobody helps because the solicitor ran off the board of Ador, yes.
They offer what they can, genuinely, from their heart.
Oh, how touching. In the cases of people that can't afford, they really cannot, they will ask the Lama an alternate method. The Lama will give them something to do themselves. So for example, let's say Mr. Yellowshirt has to do a Lachi Puja, which costs about 8,000 ringgit to feed all the monks for one day. And he says, look, I can only come up with three, whatever. Then all right, then what I'll say is you do a smaller puja, and then to make up for it, I'll give you a practice to do. Example, maybe you do Lama Tsongkhapa's mantra, 80,000 times, 50,000 times, depending on the problem, to clear from his side and that side. The purpose of the pujas is when they're very large and we can't clear ourselves and we need help. If we clear ourselves, it's the best. It's the best. It's not a matter of saving money. It's that when we do it, it's not just clearing the pujas. It's making a very powerful connection to the three jewels, purifying negativities, and gaining attainments when we do these practices. Okay? That's good. Remember, it's not about how much or how big, it's about your sincerity to do it. And there's always a way. Always a way. Any more questions for Kandarogi that he can answer? Oh, look, now he's looking at you like a school teacher. Susan, come on, ask him something. Don't let him stand there like that, so rude and so confident. You know what he's thinking? You guys are stupid. You don't know anything to ask him. That's why he's standing there with his hands folded at his chest, coming back from Buddha Bador.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Repeat this question.
When do you fulfill the...
No, when do you do the puja?
Do the puja. The...
Prior to the obstacle or afterwards?
Prior to the obstacle being fulfilled or afterwards? Well, when you're given divination, there is no specific time frame. But given given that when the disaster you're trying to avert may happen, if it's next month, then you should do it quickly.
Beforehand. So is that saying beforehand?
Beforehand, yes.
Okay.
Short answer.
Let me give you an example, Mr. Yellow Shirt. Should you go to the hospital after the accident or before?
Very good. So if we're going to do a puja, should we do it before the disaster, so it's not called a disaster anymore, or after the building collapsed on us and we send our finger there to do the puja because we're dead? What do you think, Mr. Yellow Shirt? Very good. The power of your logic is incredible.
Should we do the puja before or after?
Before and as soon as possible. And, okay, that's a good question. I'm just teasing him. Yeah, that's a good question. And in some cases, after your disaster has averted or you see some good results, right, you do a tada consult, which means a thanksgiving puja. It doesn't have to be so big, to say thank you to the protectors. Oh, yes. Some people can do that if they wish. It's a thanksgiving. So that's a good question what he asked. So before and after both come. Yes? Not necessary. Not necessary. And if we want, we can do the pujas from time to time again. Just even we don't have obstacles. Why? Maintenance. It's very nice. Very, very nice. Even great lamas like the Dalai Lama orders Gandhin, Sarah, Drekun to do huge pujas for him. When he needs to do a big project somewhere, open up something, he'll have us do huge pujas to remove the obstacles of the people he's trying to help. Many, many times. Even great lamas like that, they do pujas. Yes? Any more questions, Susan? Okay, kind of early.
What should our motivation be when we want to request for divination?
What should our motivation be if we want to request for divination? Our motivation should be to follow the advice given to the tea and carry out the instructions.
What happens if we don't like tea, we like coffee, huh?
Carry out the instructions fully.
Is that good enough for you, Susan?
Sorry.
Well, what would you have answered, Mrs. Smarty Pants? She's like, it's all right. Well, it's okay, huh? So does he give you an ang pao after this, so not make him lose face? Any more intelligent questions for Kanda Rohi? And I just want to let you know, some of you came late, Kanda Rohi is from another planet, and hence the appearance. He's from another planet. He's from the planet Bloop. And right after Dharma talk, he's going out again to make another crop circle. Because he never gives up hope of going home. Never. Could you see him in the moonlight making crop circles to signal his planet to come get him? But he doesn't know they had an interplanetary meeting, including his planet, that they'd rather keep him here because if he goes there, he'll create a vortex. And on their ship, they can, every person, they have a special, you know, flying suit. And you can only wear it if you're 65 kgs or less. So Kanda Rohi's exceeded the flying suit. Because he puts on that silver flying suit, it's going to stretch, it's not silver anymore, and there might be pockets of air going in and out. So he's going to lose a little bit of weight so he can try on that flying suit. So he can go back to his planet. Don't you love that? You what?
I am.
Okay, I made a mistake. I read the manual wrong. It's 50. You have to be under 50. It's like you never win. Who cares? It's time to see Janet and put you through 5 hours of torturous exercises per day. Janet, see her. Take a look at her. She's sitting there like this. Look. She's like, Kanda Rohi, I promise you, if you train under Janet, you either die or become fabulous. Yes. Okay. Any more questions, anyone? Yes, Koki.
Instead of doing pujas, can we do purification practices like water sangha and purifying professional pujas
instead? Instead of doing pujas, can alternate practices such as Vajrasattva or 35 confessional Buddhas be done instead?
Very good. Can you?
No.
I would imagine not.
Well, it's pretty logical. You can, depending on the circumstance. Some you can do. The Lama will first try to have you do it on your own. If you cannot, then pujas. First. It would be best if you do it on your own. Then you can avert your own disasters always. In fact, if you do your sadhanas always, you collect the merits to avert disasters long term. That's why we have sadhanas, and that's why we do Dharma protective practices every single day, to build up the energy so that we don't have to do huge pujas. Exactly. It's like if you do a little bit of exercise a day, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Same concept. Does that make sense to everyone? So if you do a little bit of exercise every single day, then in the end you keep your body strong and healthy, and therefore you become sick less. Less, not completely, less. Same thing, if you do your sadhanas every day, committedly, you do your protective practice every day with commitment, you will have less obstacles. And when you have obstacles, more easier to overcome. Yes, that's right. Consistency is the key. Alright? It's been a great session. Let's conclude here and do a dedication. Thank you, Kandaroki. Isn't Kandaroki fabulous? Can we have a round of applause for him? So we had a very good complete teaching tonight, and we've learned a lot, and I enjoy sharing with all of you, and I don't want it to be as simple as just divinations. I also want to intersperse it with Dharma for all of you, because divinations are based on Dharma, for Dharma, for increasing Dharma. Alright? Any purpose of divination is to increase the Dharma of the person you're doing divination for. Increase their happiness, increase their wealth and happiness, and their spiritual practice. That's the purpose of doing divination. So a real purpose that a Lama will do divinations for others is to find methods, this is the secret, to increase the joy and happiness of others, and to increase their spiritual practice. That's the real reason, alright? And I'm very happy to see all of you, and I'm very happy you can attend and listen and get some Dharma. And our session tonight was a little bit long because it was involving about divinations, which is extensive. It should be broken up into two nights, but I didn't know I had such a lively crowd. In any case, when we have Dharma talks, it's going to be much, much shorter all the time. And remember, there's mitzvah, recitation of mitzvah, Lama Tsongkhapa's mantra, to dispel obstacles that people come here to recite in a group. I'm not here. And on Sundays, there's Manjushri classes where students get together here comfortably and discuss Dharma subjects with each other. And the coordinator, of course, is Koki with his friends, Mr. Kong, etc. And I'm here sometimes, I'm not here sometimes. And then the center, people like Millie is very kind. They'll send you SMSs regarding certain teachings I'm having that I'll be here. And then I'll share knowledge and ask questions. I do it very untraditional because I'm trying to do it in a way that we can get knowledge. Okay? Thank you very much. And let's do a dedication. Where there's no Dharma, let it be the Dharma. Where there's Dharma, let it become stronger. Where there's a misunderstanding, Dharma may become clear. May we take the responsibility. May we take the responsibility to make it clear. Think like that very strongly. And it's going to be finding the page sadhana thing again. Scary. I'm having phobias now. All right. This one got it, that one don't. May all beings everywhere, plagued by suffering of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled, with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms, and the deaf hear sounds. And may those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food, and the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the hopeless find hope and constant happiness and prosperity. May there be a timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all the medicines be effective and all wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be free. May the powerless find power, and the people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I remain too, to dispel the mysteries of the world. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I remain also to dispel the mysteries of the world. This beautiful dedication prayer is written by the ancient, wonderful Buddhist Indian master, Shantideva, who is very well known for composing one of the most widely used Buddhist texts of this up till now, called the Bodhisattva Chaitavatara, which deals with how to overcome anger, dissatisfaction, and to develop compassion, great compassion, and bodhicitta, altruistic mind. So this great Indian pundit, this great Indian master monk, Shantideva from Nalanda, composed that. And this dedication comes from this 10th chapter of his 10th chapter of his composition. All right? It's a Bodhisattva Charavatara's dedication prayer, all right, from Shantideva's. It's one of my favorites. One of my favorites. Daso. Janju. Tony. Kiawan.
Chinese and Mongols, and